A voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son," Jesus being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stop me if you've heard this story before. It was about 15 years ago, and I was coming back from a Mexican missionary journey with two big old suitcases, all packed full of either my vestments or vestments I had purchased there, and statues and so forth. And I was changing planes in Dallas, but had to go through customs. And as I'm walking along in the crowd, I hear a voice, a Texan drawl, "Did you see the Father?" And I look up, and there's this big, burly, good old boy, a Texan customs officer. And I thought to myself, the Father? Now, who does he mean? And then I remembered, well, I wasn't the only one to visit Mexico that week. John Paul II, who's a saint for the modern church now, I understand, but John Paul II was there as well. And that's what he was talking about. So I said, well, no, I didn't, but I saw him once in Rome, and that seemed to satisfy him. And then with a big smile, he put this kind of a mark on the customs form, and I was breezed right through all of the formalities. It seems surprising, this Mother's Day, this blessed Mother's Day and May crowning Sunday, to hear about fathers. Fathers and a son, the eternal Father who identifies his son, who points him out at his baptism, that's my boy, as my beloved. And at the same time, to hear about his legal, earthly, adoptive father, who is identified only by name in this short gospel, Joseph. Although, if you look it up, you will see that Luke will go on in his third chapter to give the whole genealogy of Joseph, tracing the fathers from his father Heli to his grandfather Mephat, going all the way back to God the Father and to Adam. But still, this is Mother's Day, and there's that lovely passage I just sang now in the Sunday Gospel. Our Lord asks, in effect, what's a mother? And he gives the answer. A mother is a woman who hath sorrow and labor and also joy, a joy which makes her remember no more her anguish. For a man is born into the world. This explains, mothers, why you will always have sorrow and ever be in labor until those children once born of you into this world are born of God into the world without end. But then think of it, what joy is waiting on that eternal day. But with Mother Church today, this St. Joseph's solemnity, we honor fatherhood as well as motherhood, because there is no mother without a father. That's forgotten, as fathers are today, going all the way back to God the Father. Forgotten, left out of the picture, erased, even as in some propaganda photos, or truth twisted in some Twitter hashtag. Only the church, Catholic Church, gives us the whole picture. Heresy does not. Did you know that heresy is the original pro-choice movement? If you go back to the Greek, the word means to choose. And a heretic does just that. He might choose boldly to deny some truths and then take others, other ones, and so magnify them out of proportion that they become a monstrosity and make no sense anymore. But the church, Mother Church, we call her, Holy Mother Church, gives her children the whole picture. She makes us to see. She opens a picture book and calls us around. She makes us to see the picture according to the whole. Because this is the meaning of Catholic. Again, the Greek root, universal. The whole picture is presented by her alone, with its contrast and colors, its shade and shadow. And no detail is omitted or denied or deformed. Thus she, our mother, the Church, does God's work, as described in the collect of this Sunday Mass, the third Sunday after Easter. It's a beautiful collect. It scans finely in the Latin, Deus qui erantibus ut in viam possent redire justitiae. O God, who dost show the light of thy truth to those that go astray, that they may return to the way of justice. Last week, we saw some of the New Age ways of going astray, modern errors of the Gnostics, that anti-Christianity that's been around as long as the real thing, 2,000 years, a system of destruction more than of belief. It's very popular today, but way back when at Corinth, St. Paul dismissed it as the doctrines of demons. We saw that last week, but we've been seeing it for the last 50 years or so. If I had to come up with one Twitter tag for it all, I would call it this: Dis the Dad, with its hatred of the Catholic God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and its dismissal of the story of original sin in the Garden of Eden, or rather the twisting of the story like a snake twisted around a tree, making Eve and the serpent the heroes, and as they do in modern movies and television shows, making the fathers, God and Adam, chumps and losers and out of it. This radical new religion has no use for hierarchy, patriarchy, paternity. Those are dirty words, and fatherhood can be replaced today by a short laboratory procedure. New Age feminism, which is always corrosive and never corrective, has already conquered the modern church on the local level. And that may be why you are here with us at this church this morning, because the parish is no longer with the Catholic Church. It has pretty much, the modern church in the New Age, done away with dad all the way through. There's no dad, and there's no papa, and there's no pop, and there's no pa. And there's no Pope. You know, all we are saying in all of this is that if Francis Bergoglio is a true Pope, which would be a stretch today, because the latest is that he shows himself as a Marxist revolutionary, saying that the state should redistribute the wealth according to need. We've heard that someplace before. But that if he is the Pope, well, that means that he would be a father. And a father who would have to be obeyed and respected, and who would have to lead us on the sure path of salvation by his teaching. Those of the conservatives or traditionalists, they're called the R and the R camp. They recognize and resist people. They're the worst offenders. They mean to be helpful, but they're terribly part of the problem, because they destroy the office and the authority of the Father. Then what will become, if there's no father, what do you think will become of the mother? If there is no papacy ordained by God with certain immutable rules, then what of the church? What of Holy Mother Church? We Catholics will become no better than those victim identity groups. There's one in particular I have in mind today, part of our society, who for all practical purposes have no fathers. They have become a matriarchy, but really an anarchy. And who would live in such a society or in such a neighborhood unless he had to? It is an anarchy which plays into the police state. It all starts with today's fatherless society for family and for church. This is the reality we live. This ideology, it seems, has conquered. Now, what can we do? The answer is in the other half of the collect, the collection of our prayers at this morning's High Mass. Grant to all who profess themselves Christians to reject those things that are contrary to that name and follow such as are agreeable to the same. Or check out the epistle, today's Mass, St. Peter, this first father, the first pope or papa. He tells us we're living in a Gnostic world of non-believers who are full of accusations against us. We need to look lively. We do. We need to stare down and resist those carnal desires on the inside which war against the soul, having our conversation good amongst the Gentiles or the Gnostics of our world, if ever we are to convert them. And for the rest, perhaps the Pope suggests, St. Peter does, we should return to respect. And he gives a long list of examples of those with authority who must be respected. It is an acknowledgement of God, the Father, who gave that authority. This respect is kin to adoration and is often called worship. The structure of the family and of God's family, the church, fits right into this. This old idea which a pope in the last century, in the 30s, Pius XI, was not ashamed to enunciate. But if you talk about it too much today, it could make people squirm a bit in the pew. That is to say, father and mother together, one body in Christ, till death do us part. Father, the head, and mother, the heart of the home. There, I've said it. And on this Mother's Day, and Feast of Fatherhood in St. Joseph, we acknowledge fatherhood as the support and the stay indispensable for motherhood. And we too do not blush to say there's no mother without a father, just as there are no children without a mother and a father. You can't fool Mother Nature. There's that mother term. Again, you can't fool Mother Nature. You can fail her, or Mother Church, or our Blessed Mother, or God the Father, or your own mom, or your dad, or your spouse. But you won't, not if you get into the right R&R camp, that is to say, if you will recognize the Gnostic revolution all around us, whose air we breathe in daily, recognize it and resist it with all your might, even as you recognize and respect. It's a second R&R. The holy state of matrimony, which this time comes from the Latin, the gift of motherhood is the meaning of matrimony, which comes from the eternal Father by means of an earthly one. Mothers and fathers together today. You can't do one without the other. Ah, good St. Joseph, best of fathers, bless our mothers on their day And don't forget Holy Mother Church. And make our children blessed by giving them the best of gifts that their father, Joseph-like, should love their mother. And she respect him in turn, even as thou, Joseph, didst for Jesus in loving Mary so. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost.